Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. So we got the jobless claims out. Market is shocked. Let's get right into, actually, let's go to Reuters first, and I'll let you know if it's shocked on the upside, downside, what we're dealing with here. And then at the end of this video, I want to try to turn this into some actionable trading strategies or investment strategies. I want to focus more on that moving forward. But first and foremost, let's get into this article from Reuters. Title, U.S. Economy on Solid Ground as Weekly Jobless Claims Fall. So there's your punchline. The market was caught off sides because they were expecting for jobless claims to be a lot higher than they actually were. So just on the taking this at face value, it seems as though this would suggest the economy is still very strong, very resilient. At least the labor market. And let's see, is there anything else I wanted to go over here? Here's the summary. Weekly jobless claims drop 2000 to 2010. And we're going to go over some more details in Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge is where I actually got that picture from the thumbnail. And they did a deep dive that was really, really good. Continuing claims increased 4,000. So you've got continuing claims increasing, yet weekly jobless decreasing. And then a lot of this was state specific as well. But it doesn't mean that this is a bad report. And it gives us data that we've got to acknowledge. We can't just sit there, and I'm probably just as guilty of this as anybody, and just kind of bury your head in the sand like an ostrich and just focus on yield curve, yield curve, yield curve. We've got to really consider all of the inputs, all of the data. And then it's not to say that I'd come to a different conclusion. I might come to the exact same conclusion. But we have to at least look at everything that is available to us and factor that into the decision-making process. And therefore, maybe adjust our probabilities, even though our conclusion, as far as the end game, is still the same, or our base case is the same. Getting back to this, business activity holds steady. Another thing that was positive for the economy, just again, keeping this as objective as possible, existing home sales surged 9.5%, while home prices, I'm assuming they meant nominal, increased as well. Now, this part really didn't make sense. In fact, let's go over this briefly before we go down to Zero Hedge, because here's some charts. Here you go. Housing supply improves. So as you guys know from watching my videos, the inventory has been very low. And since prices haven't really been shooting up, that would suggest, doesn't suggest, it means demand is very low as well. Demand pretty much equal with supply. So what happens is if you get more supply hitting the market, and if demand doesn't go up, then nominal prices are going to go down. They're going to go down a lot faster than they would with a normal sized inventory. Because again, just taking it to an extreme, let's say normal inventory is a million. If you add 10 homes to that, you're not going to see much of a move. But if existing inventory is only 10, and you add 10, well, that's going to be a big price move down, because you assume, based on the price being relatively flat, that at a million homes for sale, there's going to be a million homes that are in demand. There's going to be that many buyers. But at 10, assuming prices aren't going parabolic, that means that there's only demand for 10. So you're adding an additional 10 of supply, which would take it up to 20. Therefore, price would go down very quickly. So when I first saw this, my spidey senses kind of were tingling. Let's read this. A separate report on Thursday, the NAR, which has just got their nuts kicked in. Sorry, no other way to put it there. As far as taking down the 6% guaranteed commission on a sale of a property. But anyway, getting back to the article here, 9.5%, okay. Last month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 3.8 million units, the highest level. It's February, okay. This is better than economists had forecasted. Home resales, which account for a large portion of U.S. housing sales, fell 3.3%. Okay. Housing inventory well below its historic norm, what they're saying here. And it says that this is pushing out first-time home buyers, who accounted for 26% of the transactions last month. So main takeaway here is supply up, but prices up, okay? Well, if that's the case, then demand would have had to have gone way up. Because again, let's just keep it simple. Assume there was demand for 10 houses and there was supply of 10 houses. If we got additional supply, let's say 5 houses, and prices go up, that means that the demand would have gone from 10 houses all the way up to 7 houses. How would have demand gone up by that much? Look at mortgage rates. Oh, they really haven't moved too much. So again, this is a head scratcher, but I'll save the majority of this for another video. Let's get right over to Zero Hedge. And here's where they did a fantastic deep dive. Hats off to the guys over there, Mr. Tyler Durden. Probably not his real name. He points out first and foremost, all of the layoffs, or not all, but a lot of these layoffs that we've seen recently, everybody, I guess they just completely went bust. And Twitch, 35%, Roomba, Bumble, Farfetch, Away, Hasbro, LA Times, Wint Wealth, Spotify, BuzzFeed, Levi's, Xerox. So a lot of companies that you're familiar with, not just these kind of obscure companies, Rivian, Washington Post, Snap, eBay, Sony, Expedia, PayPal, Charles Schwab, DocuSign, EA, I think that's a video game, UPS, that's a big one, Nike, BlackRock, Citigroup, Best Buy, Pixar. Oh, Pixar is going to be laying off a lot more here with AI, I can assure you of that. But you can see that we've got a lot of major companies here that are a net negative as far as employment. But then when you go down and look at the numbers, this just a snapshot here of the jobless claims, you see that it has in fact gone down, and it's at its lowest level since, call it October of 2023. So this would imply the labor market is robust, to use their word. I don't know what this is. Vaping thing. Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do, and this year it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers, guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, The Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd. Jobless claims continue to blow out. Okay, here's where Zero Hedge really does a great job of reporting and getting into the nitty gritty. They point out that all of these, all of the major drawdowns in the jobless claims that really impact the number substantially are coming from two states, New York, California. So I guess maybe you could say that it was just so bad there over the past 3 years that now it's kind of swung back the other way and that the jobless numbers are really declining significantly. I don't know, but you have to look at the long term there and say, okay, what do you think the jobless claims will be in New York and California moving forward? And if that's what's propping up the number, I don't know if I would count on that long term, especially since New York is in a state of pure crisis. I mean, I haven't been to New York in years. I don't know if any of you have, but I occasionally watch some of the bloggers there that are not political at all. I mean, these people are not Trump fans or Biden fans. They're totally apolitical, just normal YouTubers like Casey Neistat, not him specifically, but just using that as an example of someone that would be apolitical. And they're just saying that New York is basically a hellscape due to the immigrant problem and just not just the problem, the immigrant crisis. right now. So again, to see them really adding a lot of jobs, maybe it's outside of New York City that they're doing this, just giving the central planners the benefit of the doubt. Here are the jobless claims or continuing claims, which this is another head scratcher. So we've got weekly jobless claims going down and continue to go down, but yet continuing claims not looking good at all. So now let's go through some of these other charts they have. This is, let's click on it. U.S. worker adjustment retraining notification. This is the red line and jobless claims. Okay, so they're comparing and contrasting two different metrics. The worker adjustment and retraining notifications. Huh. I'm guessing this is adjustment, meaning you're working fewer hours, my friend. Deal with it. Let's see if they give any insights. But thanks to the adjustments, all ignored. Okay, got it. And WARN numbers are rising rapidly. As a reminder, if you doubt the accuracy of Biden administration data, here's what the most recent FOMC minutes said. While the recent trends prior to the meeting had been remarkably positive, Fed officials judged that some of the recent improvements reflect idiosyncratic movements in a few series. I guess that's a nice way of saying they're most likely cooking the books. All right. So we've got, let's just be as objective as we possibly can. We've got a base case, yield curves, right? Near-term forward spread, all these things that we talk about on the channel. And what we talked about yesterday with Jerome Powell coming out, and why on earth is he committing to three interest rate drops or interest rate decreases this year, while supposedly we have a red hot economy and labor market on fire? Also, why is the unemployment rate going up? Also, why, when he's talking about an adjustment to quantitative tightening, is he talking about decreasing the amount of quantitative tightening they're actually doing? So if we're over here in the camp that the economy is doing really, really well, why wouldn't the adjustment to QT be an increase, meaning that they're reducing the size of the balance sheet even faster, trying to get it down to some sort of quote-unquote normal level? And let's remember that it's not like the balance sheet right now is at a trillion and it started at $800 billion. It started at $800 billion, but the balance sheet's at $7.5 trillion, for heaven's sakes. $7.5 trillion. And Jerome Powell himself is coming out and saying that they're going to basically put the pause on quantitative tightening. He's that concerned about the economy that he thinks taking it down to $7 trillion would somehow be catastrophic or would be the wrong move? I mean, it's to say that it's a mixed message is a dramatic understatement. We know darn well that the central planners, their actions, unfortunately, women, it's like dealing with a lot of you out there. Sorry, had to go there. When you're dealing with a gal at pretty much any age, for you younger men out there, I would suggest focusing on their actions. Focus on what they do, not what they say. Again, sorry, ladies, I'm just calling a spade a spade. And it's the exact same thing with the Federal Reserve, the central planners, and these central bankers. If you look at Jerome Powell's actions, it's consistent with the near-term forward spread or the curve. When you look at his words, it's consistent with what we're seeing with these jobless claims. So you have to consider both narratives, factor that into your decision-making process, and then maybe, or maybe not, adjust the probabilities of your base case coming to fruition. For me, my base case is still the same. But when I look at the data that Zero Hedge is going over, I'm like, okay, well, we most likely haven't got to a point where the Fed is going to drop rates and maybe they will stay higher for longer, but it just extends what I believe is the inevitable. Now, that doesn't mean that my opinion can't change. And we've gone over this, but for the new viewers, I know we got a lot of new subscribers. When I will gladly wave the white flag and say that I am wrong and the yield curve is wrong is when we have an uninversion, a sustained uninversion as a result of a bear steepener. And that would be the long end of the curve that yields at the long end going up at a faster rate than the front end. That's how we will definitively know that I have been wrong and I need to completely adjust my base case. But until that time, even if we get more and more positive data, I might adjust the short-term view, but the long-term view still remains the same. So how do you apply that to an investment strategy? Well, I'm going to be going over that quite extensively this Friday on a webinar that I'm going to be doing in Rebel Capitalist Pro. So, and I'm going to be discussing kind of these conversations that I've had recently with three billionaires specifically, not just on trading, investing, but also, maybe more importantly, on freedom and personal liberty. So if you want to be a part of that deep dive, just go to georgegammon.com/pro and you can sign up just for $1 weekly trial. But I'm not going to leave you hanging. I got to get to lunch. I'm starving. And I got to have a conversation with my good buddy, Doug Casey here in about a half hour. And after I talk to Doug Casey, it's a private conversation, unfortunately. I'm going to come back on and then we're going to review some specific things that I'm thinking about for my own portfolio as to how we can play not just the long term, but maybe even the short term. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.